good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti, and as I always say, it's awesome to be here on Sunday night, but it's especially exciting to be here tonight because it's Pentecost Sunday, and that's very exciting, and especially for those of you that are from Pentecostal, charismatic backgrounds or ministries that you're doing now, you know what an awesome day this is, where we're clothed with power from above and we're ready to proclaim the gospel. And this is what happened to all the 120 people in the upper room on that morning. And we've been talking about how we counted the days between Passover and Shavuot, which is the Hebrew feast, which was called Pentecost in the Greek. And it was connected, of course, to Passover, and it was connected to the resurrection, and it was connected to the ascension. And we talked about how when Jesus gave them the Great Commission, he said, don't leave the city until you're clothed with power from above. And then, and only then, can you be my witnesses. He knew that these guys would not be able to do it. So far, they had had kind of a bad track record all through the ministry, through the time of the crucifixion, even after the resurrection. They weren't exactly filled with energy in order to proclaim the new covenant, to proclaim salvation. So Jesus tells them only one thing that's required of them. He doesn't tell them to fast. He doesn't tell them to study. He doesn't tell them to meditate. He tells them to wait here, to wait in the city for the promise of the Father, to wait for the Spirit. And he tells them not to leave the city because, of course, they were in Jerusalem. And we know from Isaiah chapter 2, I think it's verse 3 or 4. I don't have it in front of me, but it's near the beginning of chapter 2. I think it's verse 3, that the word must go forth from Jerusalem because Jerusalem is the place where God put his name. It's the holy place. God says, this is the holy place where I put my name. And the word always goes forth from Jerusalem. So with the events that had just happened, with the sacrifice of Jesus, Yeshua on the cross, the resurrection, the ascension, and now the gospel was to be spread not only through Israel, but through the whole world, as Jesus had told them in the Great Commission, it had to begin in Jerusalem and spread from there. And so when we get to Acts chapter 2, Luke tells us about what happens that morning. And it's very interesting that for 9 days or so, there were 120 people in the upper room. And they were praying with one accord. There were no disagreements. They knew that something was going to happen. They were anticipating that something was going to happen that was going to be a very powerful, very dramatic thing because Jesus had told them that. And they knew that something would happen shortly. He said, Jesus said, within a very few days. Now, you never see any prophecies in the Old Testament where the prophet says, well, in a very few days, this is going to happen. Jonah talks about 40 days to Nineveh. But most of the prophets said, you know, someday this is going to happen, and someday that's going to happen, and someday in the future, you know, I see him, but not now. He's near, but, you know, this kind of thing. But Jesus tells them in a very few days. And we also know that because Pentecost, which at this point was the Feast of Shavuot, of course, the feast, I should say the word Pentecost was found. Of course, the ancients knew the feast also as Pentecost because of the Greek version of the Old Testament, which was the Septuagint. And so we'll just call it Pentecost since that makes it easier for us. And for those of you tuning in, you may not have ever even heard of Shavuot, but of the seven feasts that God gives to Israel, three of them are what are called pilgrimage feasts. Every man had to go to Jerusalem for each of these three feasts every year. That was the law. And Shavuot, Pentecost, was one of them. So consequently, there were many, many, many people in the city, more so than there normally would have been. This was also true at the Passover, because Passover is also one of the pilgrimage feasts. And so there were thousands more people in Jerusalem than there would have normally been. So they witnessed the crucifixion. They heard about the crucifixion. Now, there were thousands more people in town than usual on the day that the Holy Spirit comes, the day that Jesus foretold that they would be clothed with power. And, you know, it starts in Acts chapter 2, where you all know the account, so I'm not going to read it because I really want to talk about the highlights of this. And with these half-hour shows, the time goes really fast compared to when we had the one-hour show. But, you know, it talks about when the time of Pentecost had fully come. Now, again, if you don't understand the Torah, if you don't study the Torah, if you don't study the Old Testament at all, you have no idea what that means. What do you mean, fully come? But we know that from the first Sabbath after Passover, you have to count 49 days, and the following day is Shavuot, Pentecost. So that's why the count was over. So Dr. Luke says, when the time of Pentecost had fully come, the feast was here now. And as these 120 had been praying in the upper room, in one accord, there were no divisions. They were dwelling there in unity, as we're told in Psalm 133, and we're going to talk about that at some length, probably next week, so I'm sure I won't get to it today. But the Spirit is manifested in a very powerful way to these 120 people that are praying in one accord. There's no divisions. They're dwelling in unity. And we know that it was also the first day of the week, like the resurrection. It was also a Sunday. It was not a Sabbath. It was not a Shabbat. It was Sunday, which later came to be known as the Lord's Day. And so this is when the Holy Spirit is manifested. It talks about how there's a mighty rushing wind. It's noisy. People all over the city heard this. There were tongues as a fire over each of the 120. There was not a whole big flame that kind of filled the room. There was a tongue of fire on each of the people that were there in that upper room. So each of the people were impacted individually by the Spirit at that moment. As we would say today, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit in a very powerful way, but each individually getting individual gifts. You know, Paul tells us about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's one Spirit, but there's many gifts. The same Spirit gives the gifts to different people, and he gives the gifts, Paul says, as he wills. It is a sovereign decision by God the Holy Spirit to give the gifts. And so each of those 120 people got a separate flame, got a gift. And it's interesting because the Spirit didn't come in a cloud, like many times God showed himself in the Shekinah, as a glory cloud. But this time he comes with fire and with wind. And he brings light into the world. You know, water and oil are common metaphors for the Holy Spirit, and fire is as well. And fire comes into the world to bring light and also to light up people's hearts. And this happened suddenly. It says suddenly there came a mighty rushing wind. There wasn't like a half hour of buildup. There wasn't some sort of other thing that went on. It's suddenly the mighty rushing wind, and then the fire came. So suddenly they were clothed with power. And this is another incredible manifestation of the fact, to follow what Jesus had told them, that this was going to be the other paraclete. This was going to be the Holy Spirit. This was going to be the third person of the Trinity, since we number them, and that keeps it easier in our minds, I guess. The third person of the Trinity was going to act on this group of believers in a powerful, sudden way. So you know right away that these guys didn't just kind of make this up or cook up some scheme where they caused all this to happen. And if you've been in charismatic gatherings, prayer groups, services, and so forth, you know that sometimes the Holy Spirit will suddenly move, and very commonly in a way that people don't expect. And this is exactly what happened, because they did not know what to expect. And we know about fire not only bringing light, but it starts other fires. Fire always starts other fires. So all these people's hearts were lit up with fire. And fire, of course, is a great metaphor for energy and light and power. And fire, of course, not only makes light, but it burns up impurities. It melts things. You know, it melted their hearts. It burned away some of the impurities that all these guys had. And since each individual person got a tongue of fire, you know, it tells us in Ephesians that each of these gifts was for the building up of the church, for the building up of the body of Messiah. And this is Holy Spirit ministry. And if you remember when we talked about John 14 and 15 and 16, Jesus had told his followers that the other paraclete was going to come. He was going to be the Spirit of truth. He was going to convict the world of sin. He was going to remind them of everything that Jesus had said. And he was going to empower them, because they would not be able to do this on their own. So everybody there is baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we see, of course, this, what's commonly called tongues, what's commonly called languages. And many people, you know, when they hear charismatic people praying in tongues, it can be a little bit strange when you're not used to it. But the interesting thing about these guys, who, as you have to keep pointing out, and this is why I always keep pointing it out, that these guys were uneducated. It's not that Peter and Andrew and those guys knew how to speak any other language, because they did not. They spoke Aramaic, and I imagine they knew Hebrew when they heard it. I don't know if they ever spoke it. But the issue is they did not know any other languages. And one of the gifts that comes, presumably from all of them, is the gift of tongues. Because it tells us specifically in Acts chapter 2 that there were all these people there, and it takes great pains to mention where they were all from. Which, you know, if you don't know it's a pilgrimage feast, you don't get why are all these people here? Why are all these people in the street? Why did they all come running over there when they heard the mighty rushing wind and heard all this noise? And something must be going on over there. Not sure what, but we better go over there and see. And then they say, we are all these people. And it lists all the different places. You read it for your homework. And they say, aren't these people speaking all Galileans? Then why do we understand them in our own language? Why were all these people there listening to a group of Galileans preaching, and they were hearing the whole message in their language? This was a free flow of the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit falls, and you know, we're told in great detail, and we're going to talk about what Peter did for the rest of this time and next week. But Peter, we see how he's impacted, but all of them were impacted. Now they understood who Jesus was, what he had done, how this was the plan of salvation. They understood the blood atonement. They understood the resurrection. They understood that their mission, as he had told them in the Great Commission, was to boldly go and proclaim this message, not just in Israel, but eventually through the world. Because now they were looking for a kingdom that was going to be Israel, like in the days of David and Solomon. And what they realized now was their mission was going to be to the nations, to the Gentiles. So here's these uneducated guys who are now quoting scriptures. And they're reaching people from different places with different languages. And interestingly, you know, we talked about in John 14, where Jesus had told them, you'll do greater works than I did. And here's the first one. Jesus never talked to thousands and thousands of people and had them all understand him in whatever their native language was. But these guys were doing it. But these guys were doing it. And that is pretty awesome. And so the fire that had fallen on these guys then gets transmitted into the evangelism that starts. And we know that Peter, you know, Peter didn't sit down and say to the other guys, okay, I know there's a lot of people outside, but I'm going to have to sit here for a little while. I got to make some notes. I got to put my thoughts together on what I want to say. I might make a PowerPoint. I don't know. But I got to at least have some notes. And, you know, do any of you guys have any of the biblical scrolls around? Because, you know, I want to look up some references. No, he goes from the room to, I don't know if it's a balcony or goes out in the street, and he starts to preach to these people, quoting scripture. Quoting scripture. And whenever you talk, I know many of you listening have done a lot of preaching, have done a lot of evangelization, have been in places where you talk to a crowd. There's always some people in the crowd that are skeptics. And they were here too. Oh, these guys are drunk. These guys have had too much wine. And Peter says, no, no, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. So the Holy Spirit even tells us what time this happened. Peter says, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. I can assure you that these guys are not drunk. What you're seeing here is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel in Joel chapter 2. He also goes from Psalm 16. But, you know, in Joel chapter 2, Joel talks about how the Spirit will be poured upon all flesh, old people, young people, male and female, slaves, free people. Across the spectrum of humanity, the Spirit was going to be poured out. And in the Old Testament, in the Tanakh, the Spirit was poured out in a much more limited way, normally on prophets. And not because the Spirit was limited, but because the Holy Spirit did not manifest his whole ministry until Jesus had been glorified. This is why Jesus said to those guys, you should be happy that I'm leaving, because if I leave, then the Father will send the other Paraclete. Then the Father will send the Spirit. So Shavuot, Pentecost, was originally the wheat harvest feast. It was the big harvest. And so isn't it cool that on that day that commemorates the harvest, the Spirit falls on these people so that the harvest of the whole world begins and is still going on. We are just as important today in the 21st century, and especially during this pandemic we've been in, as those evangelists were in the first century, because we are also to bring in a harvest. We are bringing in the end time harvest. They brought in the first harvest. And it was also a commemoration of the giving of the law. So now at Pentecost, the law is written in our hearts. And it's not only for the people. It's not only for the chosen people, but it's for the Gentiles as well. Peter says, this is a promise to them, meaning you guys that are listening, and to those that are far off. To people who were far off from that land, this promise of salvation, this promise of the Spirit, was also meant for them. And we're going to talk a lot more about this next week, but what we have here is Peter, in a very powerful way, bringing up these points, and it says that the people were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. Because this is how these disciples began not only to do the evangelization and the great works, but to bear fruit, because the Spirit then was flowing through them unhindered. You know, in Numbers 11, the Spirit falls on the 70 elders, and it says they prophesied once, and they never did so again. These disciples, and by extension us, have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And so the Spirit is poured out without measure in order for us to do our work. And if you don't feel the Spirit's been poured out on you without measure, then you're not paying attention. Because if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit is living in you. And you must let the Spirit flow in an unhindered way. The flow of the Spirit is what's the key. And, you know, in our time, and in their time too, but, you know, that could be inhibited by self-reliance and self-sufficiency and independence and self-love and pride. All those things are in the way of a free flow of the Spirit now, and it would have been then as well. But in that upper room, the power came down on those guys, and you can see the change that happened. So, for example, let's say it's 9 o'clock. So the question you can ask yourself is, would Peter, our friend Peter, and we kind of know his track record, at 8 a.m. that morning, would he have been able to go out and preach and quote from the prophet Joel and quote from the Psalms and give a speech about how David was the patriarch and he died, but David referred to the Messiah as his son and his Lord, and David's dead and he's buried and there's his tomb, and if you've been there, the tomb is a stone's throw from the upper room. There's David buried there, but Jesus is not buried anymore, he's risen. And you guys killed the Messiah. And they were cut to the heart. We're going to talk about this next week. They were cut to the heart. Peter could not have done that at 8 a.m. Couldn't have done that at 8:45. He could only do that after the Spirit was poured out on the whole room. All 120 of them. Now, it doesn't tell us what each of the other people did that particular day, but we know what they did when they left the city. We know what the others that they evangelized did. And Jesus, foretelling the coming of the other paraclete, told this, of course, exactly how it was going to unfold. Not exactly how it was going to happen, because those guys would have never understood that. They would have never understood the driving wind and the tongues of fire and all that. But what he said would happen to them after the Spirit came, that they would be clothed with power from above, and they would be his witnesses, that certainly came to pass that morning. And the other thing I think it's interesting to keep in mind is Jesus had told them that when the Spirit comes, he's going to remind them of what he had said, meaning Jesus, and going to testify of him. So Peter and those other people, and they're not just men, there were women there too, they don't go out and start preaching about how they've just been filled with the Holy Spirit. They go out and preach about Jesus, because that's the key to evangelization. The Spirit glorifies him, shows you that the cross is your only means of salvation, and then empowers you to make that clear to those that you talk to. And we see all these things happen, and we see it in an incredible display of power, a mighty rushing wind, tongues of fire. I imagine there was a lot of noise in that room. There was definitely a lot of noise in that room because people came from all around the city to see this. And I imagine, like, there were chairs flying around and there were tables falling over and there were people in ecstatic praise. And so, you know, I hear the music playing already. Oh, I only got through about half the stuff. Anyway, as you can see, I'm wound up about this, and we're going to continue next week. So I hope you've had an awesome Pentecost day, and come back to next week where, again, we'll read and preach God's word, and we'll proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have an awesome week.